It's the righteousness of Christ manifest in our behavior that seasons a sin-sick, lost, dark, tasteless, in terms of righteousness, world. By faith, we are to allow Christ to live his life through us, and we will bear fruit.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina.
And Dave, today it's Letter Day, and I have a phone comment from Janet in Illinois. She says, I really appreciate Greg Lundstedt's ministry. It is so needed today, and I'm so thankful for the ETS app. Well, Janet, you are so welcome, and thank you so much for your encouragement. Thank you so much for your input. It is so greatly appreciated. And we praise the Lord for how he is allowing us to get his word out. And we are also so thankful for the app.
And Greg, today we take a detour from our Colossians study to look at a familiar passage in the book of Matthew.
Yes, we will, Dave. And the reason why we're looking at this passage is because we're coming to a portion of Colossians in which we're seeing how we are to relate to outsiders or unbelievers. And so I felt it would be a blessing to take a look at some passages from the Sermon on the Mount that reveal who we really are in this world. Okay, with that in mind, turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, and we're looking at verse 13.
Well, thanks, Greg. And as always, if you have to miss a portion of today's broadcast, you can hear this entire program online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Dear Lord, thank you so much for this time that you've given us. And I do pray as we look into your word that you would use it greatly in our lives, that you would sanctify us, set us apart with your truth, for your word is truth, that we would become like your son Jesus. Lord, help us to see clearly what you intended today, that you would be glorified in our response. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there are many opinions throughout the so-called evangelical church, mainline denominations, and other religious organizations that call themselves Christians concerning how we are to act in the midst of those who do not know Christ. How are we to be in the world? You know, we've seen a lot of different changes in our world lately, at least sin becoming more outwardly visible and people becoming more outwardly wicked and hostile, at least. We've seen that. And how are we to act? How are we to behave in the midst of a dark world? What are we to do? There are those that believe Christians should go out and militantly change our culture, expecting non-believers to act like believers, holding them to the same standards. Now, that's not talking about law and order. That's appropriate and justice. But here, causing and desiring non-believers to be and act just like Christians without Christ. Yet the scripture says we don't judge the world, but God judges the world. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. There are also those who might say we need to be like the world so that we can win the world. We need to be just like them. So we need to do the things they do, be involved with them in all that they do, whatever it might be, so that we can win them. But that's actually spiritual adultery. We have nothing in common with the world, and we are called to come out of their midst, morally speaking, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And there are others who say, hey, you just need to isolate. Just need to be separate from them. Don't ever go in their midst. Don't ever be around them. You won't be like them, like the monks or whatever. But the reality is, Scripture points out again in 1 Corinthians 5 that we cannot go out of the world. Paul didn't say, I meant you should go out of the world. But as that saying, and it's not a scripture, by the way, but it's a saying based on scripture that we are in the world, but not of it. So how are we to behave? How are, as we'll see, those who have a relationship with Jesus Christ to behave in the midst of this dark and wicked world? Would you turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to be looking at one verse, verse 13 today, and we're going to see that Jesus makes it clear through his word that we are to be who we are in Christ so that God will be glorified in the midst of a dark world. Now, we have one message left in 1 Thessalonians, so we will finish that next week, Lord willing, and be praying for what we go to next. But I felt it appropriate to share and teach on some things that we need to be reminded of in the midst of all the things that are going on around us. So in the book of Matthew, turn to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to be looking at verse 13. And now let me share a little context to the book of Matthew. In chapter 1, Jesus is introduced as the rightful King of the Jews. And more specifically, he is the Lord who is salvation, that he was born to save his people from their sins. And in chapter 2 of the book of Matthew, we have the responses to the birth of King Jesus, which foreshadow the rejection of the people and also the worship of those who are his. And that Jesus fulfills all the redemptive prophecies. They all point to him. He is our only true hope. And although the world would despise and forsake him, he would sovereignly bring about forgiveness of sins. And then in chapter 3, we see that we have the way prepared for the Lord Jesus Christ through John the Baptist preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And then amazingly, in chapter 3, we see Jesus Christ being baptized. Although being the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, he identifies with sinful man whom he came to save. And thus we have the declaration from above concerning the person and work and worth of Jesus Christ. "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Then in chapter 4, we have the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ, where the Spirit of God leading Jesus into the barren wilderness to be tempted by the devil. We see that. And then Jesus, in his humanity, although being fully God, in his humanity, took on the full force of Satan simply by understanding, believing, and declaring the truth of God rightly in its context. Then Jesus began his ministry in Galilee of the Gentiles, fulfilling prophecy that a great light had shone in the midst of spiritual darkness. And we see that. And that Jesus fulfills the prophecy, enlightening spiritually the blind. They saw a great light drawing near. And the light of Jesus and his word pierces the darkness. Then the end of chapter 4, we see four fishermen respond to the call of Jesus to follow him. Yet in contrast, the crowds followed Jesus not for his preaching and teaching, but for the healing. Then we come to chapter 5, which we call the Sermon on the Mount, or the Teaching on the Mount. And beginning with the Beatitudes, those statements which speak and describe those who are truly blessed, they reveal the lifestyle of those who are in the kingdom of heaven, those who have been saved. Then the Lord Jesus graciously comes upon the Jews who thought they were saved and laid forth his kingdom righteousness upon their hearts. But so we have the purpose of the Beatitudes, those statements that reveal what someone who is truly saved looks like. Those blessed statements, they reveal the character of those who are kingdom citizens. And Jesus lays those across to show those who thought they were who they really are in light of those who are really his. They reveal the lifestyle of those who are truly his. And it's from this point the Lord Jesus jumps forth into another set of statements regarding those who are blessed. He talks about those who, as we will see, who are blessed, but yet are in the midst of persecution and an ungodly world. And how are we to respond? So how are we to act in the midst of an ungodly world? Again, Matthew chapter 5, 13. I'm going to read 13 through 16 because it all goes together, but we're not going to have time to look at the other portion, but it all goes together. Verse 13. "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how will it again be made salty? It is good for nothing anymore except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do men light a lamp and put it under a peck measure, but on the lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they shall see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Tremendous portion of Scripture. And here we have two declarations concerning believers, true believers, and how they are to function in the midst of a dark world. And today we're going to look at the first one, which points out that we are the salt of the earth. And indeed, we're going to see that our righteous behavior, or his character in us, is the means in which a sin-corrupt world sees and tastes his righteousness. Again, verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how will it be made salty again? It is good for nothing except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by man. Very strong statement. So now before we begin our portion looking at this, we need to understand and ask the question, who is the you spoken of here? Remember back in verse 11, the Lord Jesus changed who he was speaking to from the third person, blessed are they. And back in verse 11, blessed are you. And so he's been describing the character of those who are in the kingdom. And then he points, I believe, to his disciples, blessed are you, those who are truly his. Look back in verse 11. Blessed are you, verse 11, when men cast insults at you and persecute you. He'd been saying they, blessed are those, blessed are you. And say all kinds of insults against you falsely on account of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. He is obviously speaking to those who are of the kingdom of heaven. He's speaking to believers here. He's speaking to believers. Blessed are you. And even later on in verse 16, in a parallel portion, he says, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. You see, they have a relationship. You see, when we trust in Jesus Christ, we enter into a new family relationship with God being our Father. We are now his children. We used to be of the devil, you see. We leave that spiritual family. We are delivered from darkness into the kingdom of his beloved Son. You see, before we came to faith in Jesus Christ, we were of Satan. We were in his spiritual family, just like those in the world. Jesus shares this in John chapter 8, verse 42. Jesus said to them, because the Jews were saying, hey, we believe in the Father. He's our Father. Now he's going to respond to them. He says, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and have come from God. For I have not come on my own initiative, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I'm saying? It's because you can't hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. And so he is speaking here, the Lord Jesus, not to those who don't know him, but to those who do because they believe they have a relationship with him. They are in the family of God. They are those in the kingdom. They're saved. And so how are those who are saved to function in the midst of a dark world? He says this declaration, you are the salt of the earth. It's a pretty simple statement. It's continually, habitually, present tense. You are continually, habitually the salt of the earth. You are. That's what you are. You are this. If you say you are a pastor, you are a truck driver, you are this. This is what you are. He says you are this. You are the salt of the earth. Now, what does he mean by that when he says salt of the earth? Because obviously he's talking about salt. And there are many ideas out there, and many have written all kinds of discourses on what did Jesus mean concerning salt here. But I think it's a very simple analogy, because if you look at this idea of salt back then, it could be a few different things, but I think the analogy the Lord Jesus shares here is very specific. Now, back in their day, salt was a very valuable mineral, and it was needed for survival, and it was also a sign that someone was prosperous. Indeed, the Romans would pay their soldiers in salt. You know that term. He's worth his salt, right? A valuable mineral. And why was it valuable? Because there was no refrigeration and salt would preserve meat that would spoil. It would inhibit corruption. That's one reason. But secondly, salt was used to flavor or season food, as we'll see today. And so the salt was very, very valuable. Now, some people say this is speaking of, you are the preservative of the world. Now, the reality is, yes, the Spirit of God, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, is keeping this world from totally going to hell in a handbasket, right? The Spirit of God is inhibiting evil through the body of Christ, inhibiting corruption in a sense. But yet, is that what he's talking about here? Is he talking about the idea of corruption being inhibited, or is he talking about something else? Notice he says, you are the salt of the earth. Well, the reality is, this idea of salt speaks of flavor. He's going to say later on, if the salt becomes, what? Tasteless. That's what he's talking about. He's not talking about you are the anti-corruption reality in the world or the earth. He's saying you are the flavor of the earth. You are that which flavors it. And he's going to say later on, if it becomes tasteless, obviously, he's speaking of flavor here. Now, so he says here, very simply in this analogy, the blessed ones, those who are manifesting the character of Christ, you are the salt, he says, of the earth. And later on, in parallel, verse 14, he will say, you are the light of the world. So the earth is speaking of the world here. Now, the Bible has much to say about the world, and we'll look at it. But the world is used in Scripture as a term that consistently identifies those who do not know God. Those who live by their own standard, set within their own lusts and desires. The Apostle John points out the mindset of those in the world. He shares how the world functions and operates. Turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, he says, is not from the Father, but is from the world. That characterizes the world there. The lust of the eyes, we want what we see. The lust of the flesh, our sinful flesh desires. And then we have the boastful pride of life. I did it my way. It's all about pride and life apart from the Lord. And the world is passing away. And also its lust has to do with desires. But he says here, but the one who does the will of God abides forever. So the world consists of the unregenerate, the unredeemed, those who are not born again, those who are not saved, those who function based on their own wisdom, lust, and desires, rather than the will of God as revealed in the Word of God. You see, the world is corrupted by sin. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We were all part of the world, by the way. You see, man apart from God is separated. The wages of sin is death. And the first paycheck you get for sin is separation from God. The last paycheck you get is the second death, eternal separation from God forever in punishment. But the wonderful thing is that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Notice that he loved the world. That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. And so Jesus makes this simple statement with a simple analogy, you are the salt of the earth. But what does it mean? Well, as I've shared, look at verse 13. He says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how will it be made salty again? The analogy is flavor. You are the flavor of the earth. Just eat your eggs without salt and then put some salt on it. It flavors it, doesn't it? The reality is we are the salt of the earth. And notice what he says. And actually, turn to Colossians chapter 4. We have this same idea of salt being a seasoning in terms of our behavior, in terms of our actions. Colossians chapter 4, verse 5. Conduct yourselves with wisdom towards outsiders. That's non-believers, by the way. Making the most of the opportunity, or redeeming the time, literally. Let your speech always be with what? Grace, seasoned, as it were, with salt. So that you may know how you should respond to each person. You want to know how to respond to non-believers? With grace. That's how you'll know, right? Let your speech be seasoned with salt. And we believers so often are so repulsed at the sin that we see that God has delivered us from, that maybe we don't do anymore. And we're repulsed at that, but then we treat people very badly. We need to recognize there's the sin and then there's the sinner. The sin is wrong and evil and bad and condemns. But the sinner needs a Savior, Jesus Christ. Right? So then, I believe that this passage, back in our passage, is speaking of that which seasons, which brings flavor to a corrupt, sin-sick world. You are that which flavors this sin-sick, dark world. Now let us not forget here what preceded verse 13. Remember, Jesus has just finished those beatitudes, those statements concerning those who are truly blessed. And remember, those statements speak of his righteousness, his character being manifest in us. That's what he's just spoken of. And then he talks about that same character being manifest in the light of persecution. Look at Matthew 5:10. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for what? For the sake of righteousness. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What about 5:11? Blessed are you when men cast insults and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of me. The reality is, it's on account of Jesus living his life through us that we are able to do what is right. And when his righteousness is manifest in our deeds, we will be persecuted. And so as we see in contrast, the flavor, the seasoning that seasons this corrupt world is the righteousness of Christ manifest in us, which will bring persecution, but it also might cause them to glorify God who is in heaven when they see your good deeds. Indeed, we see that. Look at verse 16. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. It's the righteousness of Christ manifest in our behavior that seasons a sin-sick, lost, dark, tasteless, in terms of righteousness, world. By faith, we are to allow Christ to live his life through us, and we will bear fruit. Remember what the Apostle Paul said to the Ephesians, Ephesians 5:8, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. His righteousness and his truth and his goodness is going to be manifest in us. We are the salt of the earth. It doesn't mean that we are out condemning everybody.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, in the moments that we have left, give us a couple of ways that we should be the seasoning to the world around us.
You know, Dave, as we'll see more in detail in the next two broadcasts, what I believe the Lord is talking about here is that seasoning of righteousness. In other words, as we trust Christ and manifest his righteous character, the lost world sees what true righteousness looks like. This is the seasoning that I believe the Lord Jesus is talking about here. So how do we show that to the world? Simply put, we must live lives that align with what we say and believe. And how do we do that? We need to abide in Christ, his word abiding in us, and as we yield to him, walking by faith, his character, his righteous character, will be manifest in our lives. When our lives consistently, habitually reflect an accurate picture of Christ to a lost world around us, we are seasoning it with his righteousness. And this seasoning can be found nowhere else than in a true relationship with Jesus Christ.
So how can you be the seasoning Jesus says you are? Well, first of all, confess sin. Keep your heart pure and clean before Him. Renew your mind daily in the Word of God and depend on Christ. Now we're going to talk more about being salt and how to keep from becoming tasteless in our next broadcast. I hope you will join us then.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.